to Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Come on in and sit a while. Put up your feet if you want to, and we'll tell you a story or two. For the first broadcast of this new KBIA show, we've chosen a couple of short stories originally written by Missouri's own Mark Twain. Generations before Lucy and Desi, the adventures of the McWilliams family made Americans chuckle and laugh. Here are two long-forgotten adventures of the excitable Mrs. McWilliams and her ever-patient husband. Right now, let's join the family as it enjoys a quiet evening at home. Mrs. McWilliams is knitting by the fireside, while Mr. McWilliams is absorbed in his newspaper. Their domestic bliss will soon be shattered by the dreaded membranous croup.
Good heavens! According to the paper, a frightful and incurable disease called the membranous croup is ravaging the town and driving mothers mad with terror.
That's nice, dear.
Darling, should little Penelope be chewing on that pine stick?
Precious, where's the harm in it? Oh, all right. Here, Penelope, give the stick to Mommy.
Thank you, love. It is notorious that pine is the least nutritious wood that a child can eat.
Hubby, you know better than that. You know you do. Doctors all say that the turpentine in pine wood is good for weak back and kidneys. Here, child, enjoy your stick.
Ah, I was under a misapprehension. I did not know that the child's kidneys and spine were affected and that the family physician had recommended...
Who said the child's spine and kidneys were affected?
My love, you intimated it.
The idea! I never intimated anything of the kind.
Why, my dear, it hasn't been 2 minutes since you said...
Bother what I said. I don't care what I said. There isn't any harm in the child's chewing a bit of pine stick if she wants to, and you know it perfectly well, and she shall chew it too. So there now.
Say no more, my dear. I now see the force of your reasoning, and I will go and order 2 or 3 cords of the best pine wood today. No child of mine shall want while
please, go back to your newspaper and let me have some peace. Body can never make the simplest remark, but you must take it up and go arguing and arguing and arguing till you don't know what you're talking about, and you never do.
Very well. It shall be as you say. But there's a want of logic in your last remark, which...
Later that night, at dinner...
Oh, Mortimer, there's been another. Little Georgie Gordon is sick.
Membranous croup?
Membranous croup.
Is there any hope for him?
Not in the wide world. Oh, what's to become of us?
Now, darling, let's not get... here is Penelope. Come here, dear. Have you come to say good night and offer your customary prayer at your mother's knee? Good. Go ahead then, my sweet.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord.
Oh, no! No, no, no!
What, dear?
Didn't you hear that? The child coughed. She coughed! Oh, good heavens. Quickly, quickly. Come along, Mortimer. First, we must take the child's bed and move it to our bedroom. Oh, hurry, Mortimer, please.
Yes, dear. I'm moving as fast as I can. There. Is that all right?
Oh, no. Oh, we're too far away from the other baby. And what if he has symptoms during the night? Oh, this won't do at all. Quickly, move Penelope's bed into nursery with the baby and then move our bed to the hallway just outside the door.
Ow! Ouch! Oh, no! There, my dear. Everything is just as you...
Oh, no! Oh, no! What if the baby catches it from Penelope? Quickly! Quickly, we must move Penelope's bed back to her room. Oh, please, Mortimer, hurry. Don't just stand there.
But then I will have to move our bed back
yes,
to...
Yes, hurry!
Mr. McWilliams could not move the beds fast enough. Mrs. McWilliams stood over him screaming the entire time. Finally, the beds were returned to their original positions, and Mr. McWilliams felt a great gladness, like a storm-buffeted bird that has found his nest again.
Oh, I can't just lie here. I'm going to the nursery to check on baby. Mortimer. What can make baby sleep so soundly?
Why, my darling, baby always sleeps like a graven image.
I know, but there's something peculiar about his sleep now. He seems to breathe so regularly. Oh, this is dreadful.
But, my dear, he always breathes regularly.
Oh, I know it, but there's something frightful about it now.
Would you like me to call a nurse to watch over the children tonight?
Oh, no. I wouldn't allow anybody to do anything but myself at such a time as this.
Well, I will feel guilty lying abed all night and sleeping and leaving you to watch and toil over our little patient all the weary night, but you have reconciled me to it.
Penelope coughed twice in her sleep that night.
Oh, why doesn't that doctor come? Mortimer, this room is too warm. This room is certainly too warm. Turn off the register, quick.
Yes, my darling. Honeybee, the thermometer says it is 70 degrees in here. Do you really think that is too warm for a sick child?
Well, the thermometer is obviously wrong. Turn it off.
Yes, dear. I'll get it, sweetie. It is probably the doctor. That was a messenger who said the physician is ill and confined to his bed.
There's a providence in it. He never was sick before, never. We've not been living as we ought to live, Mortimer. Time and time again I've told you so, and now you see the result. A child will never get well. Be thankful if you can forgive yourself. I can never forgive myself.
Well, I don't see that we've been living such an abandoned lifestyle.
Mortimer, do you want to bring the judgment upon baby, too? Oh, the doctor must have sent medicines.
Certainly. They're here. I was only waiting for you to give me a chance.
Well, give them to me. Don't you know that every moment is precious now? But what was the use of sending medicines when he knows that the disease is incurable?
While there is life, there is hope.
Hope? Mortimer, you know more what you're talking about than the child unborn. If you were... As I live, the directions say 1 teaspoonful once an hour. Once an hour. As if we had a whole year before us to save the child in... Mortimer, please hurry. Give the poor perishing thing a tablespoon and try to be quick.
Why, my dear, a tablespoonful might...
Don't drive me frantic! There, my precious, my own. It's nasty, bitter stuff, but it's good for Nellie. Good for Mother's precious darling, and it will make her well. There, put your little head on Mama's breast and go to sleep. And pretty soon... Oh, I know she can't live till morning. Mortimer, a tablespoon every half hour will... The child needs belladonna, too. Oh, I know she does, and aconite. Get them, Mortimer. Now, do let me have my way. You know nothing about these things. Once you move her bed beside my pillow, we can go to bed. Don't give me that look.
All this had worn Mr. McWilliams quite out. 2 minutes after lying down, he was sound asleep.
Darling, is that register turned on?
No.
I thought as much. Please turn it on at once. This room is cold.
Yes, dear. There, dear.
Dearie, would you mind moving Penelope's bed to your side? It is closer to the register.
Yes, dear.
What happened, darling?
I tripped over the rug. There, dear. Just as you wish.
Mortimer, if we only had some goose grease, would you be a sweetheart and fetch some?
Ack! Get! out of the way, cat. Oh!
What happened?
I was trying to help the cat move, and I kicked the chair instead.
Well, please stop hopping around and come to bed. Mortimer, why are you turning on the light? You might wake the child again.
Because I need to see how badly I am injured, Evangeline.
Well, look at the chair, too. I have no doubt it's ruined. Poor cat. Suppose you had...
I'm not going to suppose anything about that stupid cat. It would never have happened if you had not
now,
been...
Now, Mortimer, I should think you would be ashamed to make a remark like that. It is a pity if you cannot do the few little things I ask of you at such an awful time as this, when our child
there,
is...
There, I will do anything you want. Where's the goose grease?
On the mantelpiece in the nursery. If you'll just fetch it, I promise that will be all for the night.
All right, dear. But this is the
last... Thank you so much, darling.
Here you are. Now, if you don't mind...
Not at all, darling. You just lay back down while I grease little Nellie.
Thank you.
Mortimer, I do so hate to disturb you again, but the room is still too cold for me to apply this stuff. Would you mind turning the register just a bit?
Okay, I'll just sit here until...
Mortimer, why are you sitting over there? You'll catch your death of cold. Come to bed.
Well, I just thought... Oh, never mind.
Oh, but wait a minute. Please give the child some more of the medicine.
There, dear. Just as you requested. Now, if you will allow me...
Mortimer, I feel a draft. I feel it distinctly. There is nothing so bad for this disease as a draft. Please move the bed over by the heater.
Ah! All right! That's enough of this rug.
Did you just throw our rug out the window?
Yes, I certainly did. And I will throw more than that out the window if I don't get some sleep.
Mrs. McWilliams sprang out of bed and went outside to retrieve the rug. This gave Mr. McWilliams a chance to climb in bed and put his head on the pillow. Just as the first hints of sunlight began to creep into the room, he felt a grip on his shoulder that brought him immediately to his senses.
What?
It's all over. All over. The child's perspiring. What shall we do?
Mercy, how you startled me. I don't know what we ought to do. Maybe if we scrape the grease off her and put her in the draft again.
Oh, idiot! There's not a moment to lose. Go for the doctor. Go now. Tell him he must come, dead or alive.
Yes, dear.
And so Mr. McWilliams dragged this poor, sick man from his bed.
Oh, doctor, thank heavens you're here. Can you save her?
This child is not dying.
This was joy unspeakable to Mr. McWilliams, but it made Mrs. McWilliams as mad as if he had offered her a personal affront.
This child's cough is being caused by some minor irritation in her throat. Here, let me give her some of this. There, that's a good girl. Keep coughing. Ah, there it is. It looks like small wood splinters. This child has no membranous croup. She has been chewing a bit of pine shingle or something of the kind and got some little slivers in her throat. They will not do her any harm.
No, I can well believe that. Indeed, the turpentine in them is very good for certain sorts of diseases that are peculiar to children. My wife will tell you so.
But she did not. Mrs. McWilliams turned away in disdain and left the room. And since that time, there is one episode which is never spoken of in the McWilliams house. Hence the tide of their days flow by in deep and untroubled serenity. We'll rejoin our storytelling session in a moment, but first, a short intermission.
Good evening. This is Michael Scott, president of the board of directors for Maplewood Barn Community Theater. Thanks for joining us for our newest production, the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Each Friday at this time, you'll be hearing old-time radio stories performed by the same actors you'll see on stage when we welcome you back to the new Maplewood Barn in Nifong Park in the summer of 2012. And now, back to our story on KBIA.
Let's rejoin the McWilliams family now to see how they're faring. It sounds like there is a storm brewing. The fear of lightning is one of the most distressing infirmities a human being can be afflicted with. Evangeline McWilliams, a woman who could face the very devil himself, or a mouse, loses her grip and goes all to pieces in front of a flash of lightning. Well, it looks like Mr. McWilliams is still in bed. But where is Mrs. McWilliams?
Evangeline, is that you calling? What is the matter? Where are you?
Shut up in the boat closet. You ought to be ashamed to lie there and sleep so in such an awful storm going on.
Why, how can one be ashamed when he is asleep? It is unreasonable. A man can't be ashamed when he's asleep, Evangeline.
You never try, Mortimer. You know very well you never try.
I'm sorry, dear. I'm truly sorry. I never meant to act so. Come back to bed and we can have
Mortimer.
A good...
Mortimer!
Heavens, what's the matter, my love?
Do you mean to say you are in that bed yet?
Why, of course.
Come out of it instantly. I think you would take some little care of your life for my sake and the children's, if you will not for your own.
But, my love...
Don't talk to me, Mortimer. You know there is no place so dangerous as a bed in such a thunderstorm as this. All the books say that, and yet you would lie there and deliberately throw away your life. For goodness sakes, what, I don't know, unless for the sake of arguing and arguing...
But confound it, Evangeline. I'm not in bed now. I'm...
There, you see the result? Oh, Mortimer, how can you be so profligate as to swear at a time as this?
I didn't swear, and that wasn't the result of it anyway. It would have come just the same if I hadn't said a word. And you know very well, Evangeline, at least you ought to know, that when the atmosphere is charged with electricity...
Oh, there's... yes, now argue it, and argue it, and argue it. I don't see how you can act so when you know there's not a lightning rod on the place, and your poor wife and children are absolutely at the mercy of Providence. Mortimer!
Well?
Did you say your prayers tonight?
I meant to... But I got to trying to cipher out how much 12 times 13 is, and I...
Oh, we're lost beyond all help. How could you neglect such a thing at such a time as this?
But it wasn't such a time as this. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. How could I know that there was going to be all this rumpus and powwow about a little slip like that? And I don't think it's fair for you to make so much of it anyway, seeing as it happens so seldom. I haven't missed since I brought on that earthquake 4 years ago.
Mortimer, how you talk! Have you forgotten the yellow fever?
My dear, you are always throwing up the yellow fever to me, and I think it is perfectly unreasonable. You can't even send a telegraphic message as far as Memphis without relays, so how is a little devotional slip of mine going to carry so far? I'll stand the earthquake because it was in the neighborhood. But I'll be hanged if I'm going to be responsible for every blame.
Oh, dear. I know what struck something, Mortimer. We shall never see the light of another day. And if it will do you any good to remember when we are gone that your dreadful language... Mortimer?
Well, what now?
Your voice sounds as... Now where have you got to?
I'm here, by the window.
Oh, for pity's sake, have you lost your mind? Clear out from there this moment. Even children know it's fatal to stand near a window in a thunderstorm. Oh, dear, I know I shall never see the light of another day. Mortimer?
Yes?
What is that rustling?
It's me.
What are you doing?
Trying to find the upper end of my trousers.
Oh, quick, throw those things away. I do believe you would deliberately put on those clothes at such a time as this, yet you know perfectly well that all the authorities agree that woolen stuffs attract lightning. Oh, dear, dear, isn't this sufficient that one's life must be in peril from natural causes? But you must do everything you can possibly think of to augment the danger. What on earth are you opening that door for?
Goodness gracious, woman, is there any harm in that?
Harm? There's death in it. Anybody that has given this subject any attention knows that to create a draft is to invite the lightning. You haven't half shut it. Shut it tight and do hurry or we're all destroyed. Oh, it's an awful thing to be shut up with a lunatic at such a time as this. Mortimer, what are you doing?
Nothing. Just turning on the water. This room is smothering hot and close. I want to wash my face and hands.
You have certainly parted with the last remnant of your mind. Where lightning strikes any other substance once, it strikes water 50 times. Oh, do turn it off. Oh, dear, I'm sure that nothing in this world can save us. It does seem to me that... Mortimer, what was that?
It was a picture. I knocked it down.
Then you're close to the wall. I never heard of such imprudence. Don't you know that there's no better conductor for lightning than a wall? Come away from there. And you came as near as anything to swearing, too. Oh, how can you be so desperately wicked in your family in such peril? Come in here, come quick, before you have a chance to commit any more mindless indiscretions.
Yes, dear, I will try. Darling, I cannot do this. This little closet will not hold us both with the door shut, unless we are content to smother each other. I'm sorry, dear. I will leave the closet to you.
Well, Mortimer, something must be done for your preservation. Give me that German book that's on the end of the mantelpiece and a candle. Oh, but don't light it. Give me the match. I will light it in here. That book has some directions in it.
All right, dear. Ah! Here's the book, honey.
Mortimer, what was that?
Nothing but the cat.
The cat? Oh, destruction. Catch her and shut her up in the washstand. Do be quick, love. Cats are full of electricity. I just know my hair will turn white with this night's awful perils.
Yes, dear. I will do my best. Oh! Come here, you little... Get in there! All right, Evangeline, darling. I have the kitty cooped up in the commode, although I think it will cost us about $400 in broken furniture and china, not to mention the doctor bills to patch up my injuries.
It says the safest thing is to stand on a chair in the middle of the room, Mortimer, and the legs of the chair must be insulated with non-conductors. Oh, that is, you must set the legs of the chair in glass tumblers. Oh, listen to that. Do hurry, Mortimer, before you are struck.
All right, my pet. I have the last four tumblers. Broke all the rest. I'm insulating the chair legs. Yes, that should do it. What am I supposed to do now, darling?
Mortimer, it says, Warend eines give witters and ferni man metalli visibi ringa oren schlasse. What does that mean, Mortimer? Does it mean that you must keep metals about you or keep them away from you?
Well, I hardly know. It appears to be a little mixed. All German advice is more or less mixed. However, I think that sentence is mostly in the dative case with a little genitive and accusative sifted in here and there for luck. So I reckon it means that you must keep some metals about you.
Yes, that must be it. It stands to reason that it is. They are in the nature of lightning rods, you know. Put on your fireman's helmet, Mortimer. That is mostly metal.
Just a moment. All right. I have it, dear, and am putting it on. You know, it is a very heavy and clumsy and uncomfortable thing on a hot night in a close room. But I will do as you say. All right. I should be protected now.
Mortimer, I think your middle ought to be protected. Won't you buckle on your militia saber, please?
As you wish, darling.
Now, Mortimer, you ought to have some way to protect your feet. Do please put on your spurs. Mortimer, it says, Das gewitter lauten ist sehr gaffer fleck, weil die Glocke siebes Zoeder durch das lauten Wirren lasta Luftzug. Mortimer, does that mean that it's dangerous not to ring bells during a thunderstorm?
Yes, it seems to mean that. If that is the past participle of the nominative case singular, I reckon it is. Yes, I think it means that based on the composition of storm clouds and the absence of Luftzug, whatever that is, it would be very dangerous not to ring bells when it is storming. And moreover, don't you see the very wording
of that... Never mind that, Mortimer. Don't waste precious time in talk. Get the large dinner bell. It's right there in the hall. Oh, quick, Mortimer, dear. We're almost safe. Oh, dear, I believe we're going to be saved at last.
All right, dear. I'm back on the chair, and here goes.
What in tarnation is the matter here?
Who is that?
That is our neighbor, Mr. McCrory, my sweet, at our window.
What in the world are you doing, Mr. McWilliams? Standing on a chair, wearing a saber and a fire helmet, ringing that dinner gong?
There's nothing the matter, friend. Only a little discomfort on account of the thunderstorm. I was trying to keep off the lightning.
Thunderstorm? Lightning? Why, Mr. McWilliams, have you lost your mind? It is a beautiful starlit night. There has been no storm.
Why, I do not understand this. We distinctly saw the glow of the flashes through the curtains and shutters and heard the thunder.
Pity you didn't think to open your blinds and look over the top of the high hill yonder. What you heard was cannon, and what you saw was the flash. You see, the telegraph brought some news just at midnight. Garfield's nominated, and that's why we are celebrating. Why not take off that silly fire hat and saber and come join us?
As Mrs. McWilliams exits the closet in a very subdued mood, Mr. McWilliams dismounts the chair, glaring at his wife. It looks like they will not be joining the Garfield celebration. If appearances are any indicator, the rules for preserving people against lightning are so excellent and so innumerable that the most incomprehensible thing in the world is that anybody ever manages to get struck. At any rate, Mr. and Mrs. McWilliams should be well prepared for the next lightning storm. We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of two Mark Twain short stories, adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. This show was produced by Darren Helwich. Our players were Molly Dodge as Mrs. McWilliams, Brad Buchanan as Mr. McWilliams, and Ian Buchanan played the doctor in Membranous Croup and the neighbor in The Tale of the Thunderstorm. This is your narrator, Byron Scott, hoping you'll join us at the same time next week for another relaxing half hour here at the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater.